Hey guys, welcome to the channel. I'm so glad that you're here. You know, our mission at Faith is to lead people to Jesus and elevate their faith. I trust that today's sermon would strengthen your faith in God and elevate your confidence for the impossible. God bless you. Let's get into it.
Praise God. Let's read. We're going to read Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. And this morning, I'm going to call this one Fan the Flames. You see, we have fan in here because we don't want to feel hot. Isn't that true? We want to keep you cool. But I want to keep you cool on the outside, but hot on the inside. Amen. I'll say that again. I want you to be cool on the outside, but I want you to be hot. Where?
Inside.
Where?
Inside.
Where?
Inside.
Now tell your neighbor, get hot on the inside.
Inside.
Tell them, you got to be hot on the inside. Yeah. Say, come on. You need to be hot. Right. Let me ask you a question. Isn't it better when you talk to people around you? Because sometimes we come and we sit and we just go home. Right? What's better when you talk to someone? Praise God. Mighty God. Romans 12, 11. Are you ready for me? All right. I'm going to read three different versions. I'm going to start with the New King James. And then I'm going to read the Amplified. And then I'm going to read the Amplified Classic, right? Because I want this word to get deep down in our hearts. Amen. It says what? Not lagging in what? Not lagging in what? Not lagging in diligence, but what? Fervent in spirit. Serving who? Serving who? Serving who? Who do we serve? The Lord, Amplified. It says, never lagging behind in diligence, aglow in the spirit, enthusiastically serving the Lord. How? Wow, you guys did it good. Okay, Amplified Classic. It says, never lag in zeal. Never what? Never lag in zeal, and in earnest endeavor, be aglow and burning in the spirit. Burning in where? In where? So how must we be? Never lag in what? Zeal and in earnest endeavor. How? Earnest. You have to be earnest. Earnest mean you're putting some intention on it. You're putting your intentional. You are intentional and you are consistent. Amen. You are what? Consistent in your endeavor. Be aglow, meaning bright. That's an old word, the word aglow. But it means to be bright. And what next? It says what? Burning with the spirit. Burning with what? Burning with what? You see all the stuff you guys were doing in worship? You were burning in the spirit. I said you were burning in the spirit. And I want to apologize to everyone that, you know, a chair might fly on you and somebody may misbehave in your row. I apologize. And those people that misbehave, I'm sorry for them unto all of you. But you know what they were doing? They were burning in the spirit. And when you come to church, say, Lord, I want to encounter. No, I don't want everybody to burn at the same time in that way. Because then all the chairs belong outside. But you know, that's what we have to be. We have to seek God. Breakthrough comes when we seek the Lord. Amen? When you get with a desire, have a burning desire, have a burning passion, have a fire in your belly today. I think I could close the service right here because I want you to just walk away with a fire. Amen? Just lift your hands. Say, Lord Jesus, fill me with fire. Fill me with fire. I want to burn for you. Say, Lord, I want to burn for you. Somebody just pray in the spirit right now. Say, Lord, I want to burn. I want to burn. I don't want to be the same. I want to have a zeal. I want to serve you with passion. I want to serve you with fire. I want to be fervent in spirit. Mighty God, I don't want to be cold. I don't want to be lukewarm. God, but I want to serve you. I want to serve you with fire. I want to serve you with zeal. I want to serve you with a hunger. I want to serve you with a thirst. I want to serve you with a longing. I want to have a zeal. I want to serve you with passion in the name of Jesus. Roko sindorobosha. Ribako sandarakasaye rote ratabakasine rushata ribokosa rekando deboshe riba romasata debakosaya in the name of Jesus. And we give you the praise and we give you the glory. You may be seated in Jesus' name. The Bible tells us here that we ought to serve God with a burning. When something is on fire, you know it's on fire. When a house is on fire, you know it's on fire. Fire does not hide. I'll say that again. Fire cannot hide. If something gets on fire, it is likely that thing will disappear. It is likely that it's going to be destroyed. It is likely if a house gets on fire, items in that house will be consumed by that fire. And sometimes it's memories that we lose because of fire. Pictures get burned. Precious items get burned. Things that are of great value get burned. Sometimes your passport gets burned, you can't travel anymore. But where there is fire, something happens. If there is no fire, your food can't cook. Even if it's electric fire or it's physical flame. But nothing can hide from fire. I want to tell you today, if you want to get rid of your past, get some fire on it. Because God will burn up your past and you'll go looking for it and you won't be able to find it anymore. Because our God is what? A consuming fire. You're going to go looking for failure and you won't be able to find. This morning we were driving to church and Cher was talking to us and she said, you know, Sam, I felt like I had an easy life. Yeah, she's telling me, I felt like we had an easy life. But when you look back in your life, there were struggles. There were hardship. There were circumstances. There was sickness. There was brokenness. But mighty God, when you present it to God, He burns it up. And there's not even scars to trace them. I said there's not even scars. Because you submit them to God. And you give the fire of God an opportunity to work on it. I want to tell you this morning, surrender your life to Jesus. And He will put His fire on it. And His fire is the fire that makes all things new. Even what was meant for evil, what was meant for your demise, God will turn it around for your promotion. God will turn it around for your elevation. God will turn it around for your prosperity. So this morning we have to serve God with fire. We have to serve God with passion. We have to serve God with a zeal. The Bible says, love the Lord thy God with what? All your heart. Love God with what? All your heart. Love Him with all your might. Love Him with your soul. Your soul, meaning you're submitting your mind to God. You're serving Him with your thoughts. You're serving God with your thoughts. The Bible says, as a man thinketh what? So is he. As a man thinketh, so is he. We have to learn to align our thoughts to the word of God. The Bible said, whatever things are true. When the devil comes and tell you you're a failure, that's not true. When the devil comes and say you're not beautiful, that's not true. When the devil comes and tell you, you're going to be a nobody. That's not true. When the devil comes and tell you, you will never get that promotion. That's not true. When the devil comes and says, you will never ascend and you will never prosper and you will never be promoted and you will never be somebody and your name will never be known and you will never be a blessing and you're going to be a bottom feeder all your life. That is not true. When the enemy comes and says, you can't grow in God, that's not true. When the enemy comes and say, you can't be anything for Jesus, look at your past, that's not true. But why do we find ourselves thinking about those things? Instead of flowing in God's river, we spend more time thinking what we cannot do. Because of our attention is on the wrong thing. Our attention is on ourself. Our attention is on ourself. That is one of the biggest mistakes we could have made. Now, this morning, if my attention was on me, I would not make an altar call. Because physically, I don't feel like praying for nobody. I don't want to pray for you. I want to go home at 12. I've been in church Friday, Saturday, all day I was doing church. I woke up, I prayed for an hour, I read my Bible. Then I went to a meeting for March of Jesus next month. I went and I bought fried rice for people to eat. And the devil was after that fried rice. The fried rice fell in the car. Then the fried rice fell in the back. And then we pick up what was on the ground and put it in the tray. No, I'm just kidding. No, we didn't do that. We did not do that. We threw it out. And then we were here last night. Late. And then I went to pray for someone after I ordered, paid for fried rice. I went to pray for someone. And then after I prayed for them, I went back, pick up the fried rice. And then I came to church and we had last night. I left here 10:45. So I didn't feel like praying for nobody. I want to go home because my voice right now is not strong. Even though I'm preaching strong, it's taking a lot out of me to preach. More than usual, right? So what I'm saying, sometimes, and for the most part, we are defeated in our mind. Because our focus is in the wrong place. I want to tell you what the Lord says. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, we ought to do something else. We ought to change where we're looking. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. It didn't say to look at who you are. It didn't say look at where you're coming from. It didn't say look at where you're going. It says to look unto Jesus. Why? He is the author. He is what? He wrote the script of your life. He said, before you were born, I knew you from your mother's womb. I've set you apart. I've made you a voice to the nations. I've created you for my purpose. And I've put my spirit within you. And I've empowered you to be strong. Be strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God. Who gives the armor? Jesus. Who gives the spirit? Jesus. Who baptizes you with fire? Jesus. Who equips you? Jesus. Who gives you joy? Jesus. Who gives you strength? Who gives you peace? Who gives you love? Who gives you happiness? Who satisfies you? Who provides for you according to his riches and glory? Look to Jesus. take your eyes off of yourself. Take your eyes off of your abilities. Take your eyes off of your qualification. Take your eyes off of your potential and look to Jesus. I've seen men that came to Jesus that could not read. Then they pop open the Bible and they began to read. They didn't go to no school, but all of a sudden they were preaching and they were able to read the word of God fluently. Mighty God, you don't have to have what everybody else got. You got Jesus. And if you got Jesus, you got what it takes. If you got Jesus, you got the power you need. If you got Jesus, you got all the hope that you need. Because he is the hope of the world. He is the hope of your calling. He's the hope of salvation. He's the rock of Gibraltar. Nothing will be able to move you because you're standing on Jesus. So, for all of you that the enemy wants to clog your wells, tell the devil, Jesus. To all of you, the devil is saying, you can't speak in tongues, tell the devil, Jesus. For all of you that feel you can't be great in God, tell the devil, Jesus. For all of you who think the devil is going to wipe out your family members, call the name of Jesus. For all who think that you're never going to make it, just shout Jesus. For those who think that you can never ascend in the spirit, shout Jesus. Because we are looking on to Jesus. Take your eyes off your trouble and look to Jesus. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? She said, if I could only touch Jesus. Blind Bartimaeus said, I'm going to shout and I'm going to call for Jesus. Mighty God, the men with their friend that was lame, they said, we're going to get our lame friend in front of Jesus. It doesn't matter if we got to tear down the roof and we got to lower him. We're going to lower him. We're in front of Jesus. Jesus is not just five letters scrabbled out and they came up with a name. No, the Bible says at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every system shall bow, every structure shall bow, everything set up by man shall bow, every knee shall bow. And the saying is, if it has a name, it has a knee. I said, if it has a name, it has a knee. Every person in this room, I want to let you know, shift your attention from yourself and look unto. He is the author. He is author. The author is the one that writes about you. The author is the one that wrote the script of your life. He's the one that wrote a book about you. And he has put your name in his book. And mighty God, he has moved from the book. And he has moved all of this into your heart. He said, I'll take away your stony heart. And I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. Why the heart of flesh? Because he wants to put something on it. He wants to put something on your heart. You didn't come to the house of God for a show. You didn't come to the house of God, oh God, to hear a man shout. But you came to meet Jesus. You came to encounter Jesus. You came to say, if I could touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be made whole. If I'm going to shout his name, and when he hears me, my life will change. I'm going to glorify him because he says, he dwells in my worship. He inhabits the praises of his people. His name is Jesus. So shift your attention. Shift your attention. Shift your attention. And next I want you to shift your affection. Shift your attention and shift your affection. Some of us follow Jesus like Jesus over there, and we all the way over here. And the more he goes that way, you go this way. And as he's walking that way, you go, I want to tell you, shift your affection. When I met Cher, I fell in love with Cher. And if Cher is going that way, you should see me. I'm running full speed, because my affection is over there. I'm running to the one I love. I want to tell somebody, stop running after things and run after Jesus. Stop chasing people, chase Jesus. Stop chasing the system, chase Jesus. Shift your attention, shift your affection, and let God put a fire in your belly. He got fire for you and you and you and you and you. His fire cannot be contained. That's why more than one person catch a fire, because his fire is so great. God says we ought to have a burning in our bellies. Didn't he say out of your belly will flow? Out of your belly will flow. God don't want to flow streams out of you. No, no, no. God don't want to flow streams. God want to flow rivers. But big things don't sail down streams. Ships don't sail down streams. You don't see no. What they call them, those big carriers, container carriers going down the stream. You don't see no barge going down the stream, but it says it goes down rivers. Out of your belly will flow rivers, meaning God want to flow some big things out of you. God want to flow some things that you never thought possible. I know God, and listen, let me share another thing. When a ship pass, it don't slip by. It go brrrr, meaning God is about to advertise you. What he floats, he's going to advertise you, and he's going to bring you before men, and they're going to say, who have done it? And somebody's going to say, oh, it wasn't me, nor was it her, but it was Jesus. Like the Samaritan man coming around. And when he saw the man that was beat up by thieves. Oh my Jesus. They beat him. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Heading in the wrong direction. He was going down to Jericho. He was leaving the house of God. Jerusalem represented the presence of God. It represents the promise of God. It represents the glory of God. And he was going down the wrong road. And he got caught and beat up. But right there on the road. Left to die. Left broken. Left hopeless. Left hoping that he will bleed to his death. Mighty God, there came a Samaritan. I want to tell you, the people sometimes you're expecting to help you will never show up. But God will put people in your way when you keep your eyes on Jesus. Well, I said, when you keep your eyes on Jesus. It wasn't a fellow Jew that came to save him. No, it was a stranger. Sometimes we're looking for people we know to be a blessing. But I want to tell you, when God is flowing out of you, you are unstoppable. You are unstoppable. And he will cause even your enemies to come and bless you. I said he'll cause your enemies to come and be your hope. He'll cause your enemies to prop you up. Hallelujah! Why? Your enemies don't want to help you. They're your enemy. But when Jesus gets a hold of them, I said, when Jesus catch your enemies, remember Balak? Balak went out to curse. Balak was a witch doctor. And Balak was set up to go and curse the children of God. But he went out with the intention to curse. But when he opened his mouth and he says, oh, you Hebrews, I command you to be damned. When he go to say, he said, bless. when he got to say, I pray that you will never be nothing. He couldn't say, I pray you'll be everything. I pray that you, when you come into the land, your enemies will take you. Oh, no, he couldn't say that. He said, you will take over your enemies. I want to tell you, it is not by might, it is not by power, but it's by the Spirit. Get burning with the Spirit. Get burning with the Holy Ghost. And watch God do the impossible in your life. Let your attention be on Jesus. Let your affection be on Jesus. The Bible said he didn't wait for us to love him. The Bible said while you were a sinner, he died for you. He's a one of them messed up lovers. Hello? He's a messed up lover. You know, you got some people, they're going to love some people you think are not unlovable. And you say, who you fall in love with? That person? You know, you were that person? You know, I was that person? Because the Bible says, God demonstrated his love towards me that while I was a sinner, Christ died for me. I didn't go looking for Jesus. He came looking for me. So I'm going to keep my eyes on him, because if he loved me when I was a mess, imagine now that I'm blessed and I'm in his presence and I'm favored and I'm covered under the blood and I'm forgiven and I'm pure and I'm clean. He caught me and he cleaned me up. I was like a nasty fish and he scaled me out and he filleted me and he cut off the things that wasn't good for me. And mighty God, he presented me before the Father, fit and perfect. So I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author. Who began it? The Bible says, he that began the good work in you is what? Faithful. He who began the good work. You see, the problem is, you get saved, but then you worry how you're going to live. Find that scripture, guys. Put it up. He who began the good work in you is faithful. When you get saved, you thank God, you worship God, you praise God. Thank you for saving me. Thank you that I'm a child of God. But then you walk away, and then you go like, how do I do this again? Am I saved? Did I really get saved? Am I like really, for real, a child of God? But I still look the same. And sometimes you feel the same. And then you got to go, for real, for real? But look what it says. Being confident of this what? Being confident of this what? Being confident of this what? The very thing that he saved you. The very thing that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The very thing that the plans he have for you are great. The very thing is that he knows the plans he have for you and he's going to reveal them in due season. The very thing is that he has an inheritance for you. The very thing is that he has your name graved into his hand. So none can snatch you out of his hand. Tell somebody I'm unsnatchable. Tell him I'm unsnatchable. I shall not be moved. Tell him I cannot be moved. You can push me, you can tug me, you can pull me, you can rock me, but I shall not be moved. Because what I am confident of this very thing, that what? Come now, let's read together. That he who has begun what? What kind of work he's doing in you? What kind of work? Tell somebody, good work. Tell him, good work. He's doing a good work in you. Will what? So now, who's the completer?
Jesus.
I said, who's the completer?
Jesus
is the completer. He has got you from the moment, rather before you got saved. Because his grace extended to you. Because the Bible says it is his goodness. It is what? His goodness that brings sinners to repentance. So even before you got saved, you were having his goodness. Now, he has begun a good what? Work! He has begun a good work. You know, there's some people that come to construction workers, and there's some that does good work and some that does sloppy work. Hello? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you tell them, do this work for me, and when you come, the whole thing's upside down. Yeah, yeah. Messy, disgusting. You tell them, put tiles on your wall. One tile is up, one tile is down. It's like music is playing, the tiles are dancing. But you're looking for the music, you can't find it. He said, who began the good work in you? God is not doing a sloppy work in you. God wants to do a good work in you. God is not into messy business. He's into perfecting. Hello? God is perfecting us. I said he is perfecting us. Because what is he doing? A good work. And so the result of good work, at the end of it, when you look at good work, it is pleasant to your eyes. When someone does a good piece of work and you look at it, it is pleasant to your eyes. And now you can embrace it and you can enjoy it. I want to tell you, you might feel messy now, but when Jesus is done with you, you're going to become pleasant, not only to your own eyes, but to the eyes of the people around you. And they're going to wonder who has made the difference. And what you're going to say, Jesus has done a good work in you. My God, he says he will complete it when? Stop right there. Do you know, from the moment you get saved, you have an entire journey until you get to the day of Jesus Christ? The day of Jesus Christ is two things. It's either one, when you die and you go to be with him, or two, when he returns for his church. So either way, you're in good hands. Because what is he doing? A good work in you. Looking unto Jesus, he is author, he started it, but this scripture tells me that he's going to finish it. He is going to finish what he has started. Amen? He's going to finish what he has started in your life. So change your attention. Shift your attention from yourself and shift it over to Jesus. And let your affection not be on things of this world. Let your affection not be on things of this world. Let your affection not be, because the things of this world are made to bind you and put you in a grip that sucks joy out of you and sucks peace out of you and sucks life out of you. But Jesus said in John 10:10, I am come that you might have what? Life. I'm come that you might have what? Life, and life more abundantly. Somebody say life more abundantly. So we have to serve God with fire. We have to serve God with passion. That's why when you come to Faith Church, we're so passionate, because we have received the revelation of passion. I'll say that again. We have received the revelation of passion. Because part of our vision here is that we are a people that are what? Passionate for God. Imagine we say, oh, we're passionate for God. But when you walk through the door, it's like, oh, Lord. Love you. Amen. That's a lot of passion, isn't it? No, passion shows. Passion is felt. Passion can be transferred. I said passion is contagious. Passion can be transferred. My God, I want to get you to worship God in such a way where heaven moves towards you. Where heaven, because if God dwells in your praises, when you praise God, you can expect that he comes down. Amen. He delights in the worship of his saints. That means he enjoys it. So when you lift your hand, God goes, ooh. When you jump, he goes, whoa. When you go, ah, he goes, ah. Because he delights in it. You know, listen, let me show you this how it works. A parent has two children. And they delight in one and they don't really delight in the other one. They like both, love both of them, but they delight in one. But the other one, they don't find no delight. Do you know that anything the one they delight in does, they're excited? The other child can make the Great Wall of China. They could build a bridge over a river And they come and say, "Mom, I did this, I did that." Mom goes, "Oh, good, nice. But let the one in whom they delight in come and say, 'Mom, I got 75 on my test.'" Oh my God. It's nothing compared to that. But because they delight in that child, their heart swells. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Were you ever on the side where no matter what you did, your parents didn't really care? Yeah. I know what that feels like too. We all know what that feels like from time to time. But what I want to tell you, God finds his delight in every one of us. That is why we fix our eyes on the one who delights in us. If you waste time and you focus on those who don't care about you, you're just stressing yourself out. And who knows that stress is not good for anyone. You can go to the doctor and run all the tests and they don't find nothing wrong with you until they find out that your stress level is elevated. And then the doctor says, "Oh, you need to change your attention." Isn't that true? The doctor asks you, "What is stressing you out?" And then you begin to say, "Oh, it's my kids. Oh, it's my spouse. Oh, it's my job. Oh, I take on a little more than I usually do." Anybody know what I'm talking about? And then what the doctor says, "Let's relocate some things. Let's find a way to get your stress level down." So today I want to tell you, fix your eyes on Jesus, because he is faithful. He began the good work in you and he is able to complete it. And what God wants to do is to lift your heavy burdens. The Bible said, casting every care upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. You might be sitting in this room and you're saying, "Pastor, nobody cares about me." I want to tell you, the maker of the universe loves you and he cares for you. And more than that, he wants your burdens. I said, God wants your burdens. He wants what troubles you, and he calls you to trade. He says, "Give for the spirit of heaviness, I'll give you the garment of praise." When it gets too heavy for you, it is time for you to what? Trade off. Give it to him and watch him turn your life around. But today we have to fix our eyes on Jesus. That way, our servant to him, it says what? We can be enthusiastically serving the Lord. When our attention is on ourselves, it burdens us down. When your attention is on your struggles and you're focusing on all that you cannot do, you miss what God wants to do in you, because your focus is messed up. Let's all stand in the house of God. Stand. Just lift your hands. Mighty God. God wants to cultivate us today. The Bible says, let me share this last one as you stand. The Bible says, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building." God is building every one of us in this room. He has started the good work and he has not stopped. He is building every one of us, and he's taking us from glory to glory. He's giving you the grace that you need. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your people this morning. I pray, Spirit of God, right now, by the power of the Holy Ghost, I pray that our attention will be shifted, our affection will be shifted, and God, we will take our eyes off of who we are, what we can do, what we cannot do. I pray, Spirit of the living God, you'll breathe upon your people today. I pray their eyes will be fixed on Jesus. Because your word says that all things that pertain to life and godliness has been supplied in Jesus. I pray every wall in front of your people be brought low. Every stumbling block becomes a stepping stone. Everything that was meant for their demise, I pray it turns for their promotion and their prosperity. I pray the goodness of God will locate them. I pray the favor of God will locate them. And most of all, I pray the fire of God will burn in their bellies. I pray the fire of the living God will burn in them. Take them from glory to glory. Take them from levels to levels. As we take our eyes off of ourselves. And my God, we serve you with zeal and we serve you with fire. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you so much for watching this message. We pray that it encouraged your hearts. We also want to say a special thank you to our faithful givers and partners. It's because of your generosity that the vision moves forward. If you would like to partner with us, please visit faithchurch.life/give. On Sundays, we have our Sunday services at 10 a.m. live on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. So join us there. Don't forget to like, comment, share, and subscribe so you never miss another sermon again. I'm Emily. Let's break the code.